Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
No, we've been
super mean. We've been
kind of the meanest I've ever seen us.
Well, I don't want to jump.
Okay.
And that's
Edward
on
the
comma.
Apple.
That's
the apple.
On comma. The laptop falling to the ground. Okay. No, I.
Oh my lord.
Okay, listen. This was going to be my inspiration, and I haven't done a lead-in inspiration in so long. But yeah. I'm going to start up top.
Yeah.
I went full mooding this week. I invoked the spirit of mooding. I was so frustrated, so quick to pop off.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily, honestly. Like, could have taken a breath, could have taken a beat,
Of course. Could have meditated for 1 to 2 minutes.
Yeah, and then sent back maybe like an emoji and like, love you, X. No.
No, ma'am.
Thumbs flying across the keyboard. Ivana, I think I shocked everyone in my life. I came for the throats of my friends so hard. And like, they listen. They'll know who they are.
Yeah, of course.
Who've wronged me.
Hey.
I chose to be offended. And then I just chose to deliver that news. You've like stomped on my feelings.
Yeah.
And now you will experience the entire wrath of one Beatrice Hazelhurst.
Of course. Yeah. I give you the dignity of your own experience right now.
And always like just cushioned with like an LOL.
Yeah.
LOL.
Impossible to read.
I got you this gift and you didn't even acknowledge it. Lol.
Whoa.
And then I said c'est la vie.
Oh.
I punctuated with a c'est la vie.
Not
but c'est la vie, I guess.
Yeah. That's really tough. Because there's no response.
No. Both of them, two separate people, quaking in their boots. And then I took a beat and then I went away and then I came back and I apologized. I said,
"Wow,
I know." I said, "I could have been less passive aggressive. I'm sorry that I popped off the way I did." And I think that's very like Mudang. Like Mudang does have like a tendency to have her more, demure moments.
Yeah, of course.
And she can sit and she can be scratched under the chin. Yeah. And that was that for me.
Yeah.
But there was something really liberating about just being like, say hello to my little friend.
Yeah. Three texts right in a row.
Yeah. Oh,
that'll take you down.
Absolutely. I know, just finishing with a lol is so funny. Like anyone thinks that's lightening the mood.
Yeah.
You can read right through a lol.
Yeah. It's invisible. An invisible lol.
Do you know what the meanest thing to say is? LMAO.
Oh, LMAO is really mean.
That's
super, super, super mean.
Why have you been mean? I don't have any recollection of you being mean.
No, I just have been privately mean. I feel that I've been, in our Instagram DM.
We have been mean.
We've sort of... I've compared people to cartoon characters and kind of in a way that, they wouldn't like to know.
No, that one felt particularly evil. My friend was spiraling over a guy and I was frustrated by it because I don't think, he is anywhere near in her league. And I was telling you about this. I was like, oh, my friend is spiraling over this guy. And then I said, and the tough thing about it is, unfortunately... He's not
a strapping young prince.
Any of the Chris's in Hollywood. He's not any of the Toms in Hollywood. He really is just like a four, if we're being real. A four in LA.
The mean streak continues. I know. It's true.
Maybe a six in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I had
to cut around.
Yeah, we'll cut around. We'll cut around. But I had to send you a photo just so you could like really put a face to it. You needed the context. And your response was so
cruel.
It was mean.
That's really why we're here at the red table.
Evil.
Yeah.
One might argue. It was so... You immediately came back with Sid from Ice Age.
Just a screenshot. Straight to the Google images.
And I choked. Because this man is a nice man. He's a nice guy. I mean, I think ultimately... I mean, maybe a bit of like a soft boy fuck boy, but a nice man. But my God, when I saw that... Little, what is it, like snow chipmunk pop up on screen.
Sloth.
Let's name him. It really, I mean, it sent me to another dimension. But I think I mean, I sent you Taylor Swift and Blake Lively this week, and I captioned it, "Two blondes allergic to slaying."
Yeah. Yeah, we've just been sending photos to each other, and then the way the other person responds is like, they look horrible.
Yeah. You being like, this photo was pulled straight from 2017.
Yeah.
Why is it that they insist on a stiletto booty, though?
I don't know. I can't understand it. They have unlimited money.
Unlimited money. And that like two girls, actually, I don't know if like Taylor has come out and openly admitted this, but Blake is proud that she is self-styled.
I know.
And it's really tough to kind of announce that and embrace that concept if the styling isn't good.
Do you think that with Taylor, it is a choice?
Mm, I know.
Where
the relatability factor.
The relatability, because this is the thing. Julia Fox, people do not feel that they relate to Julia Fox.
No.
Despite the fact that she insists always on being in like a groundbreaking look.
So, I also said that to another group chat, and they were even meaner. They said
something's in the air.
One responded, okay, the Dior saddlebag she just found discounted at TJ Maxx and pulled it out of the plastic and took it out on the towel. The other one responded, the whole outfit came from TJ Maxx. Do you know what it is? It's Libra season and people aren't going to accept anything less than like flawless beauty and perfection.
You're right.
It's like,
I think that must be it.
If you don't show up like putting hours into the look.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Get out of my face.
Yeah.
You're wasting
my time.
You're wasting my time.
Yeah. I've arrived here. Definitely not. I have mascara under my eyes.
I think you look gorgeous as usual.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I can't talk about my inspiration.
Okay, tell me.
I went to a concert last night and I was drunk. Boy, Steven was like, I just saw you march ahead into the mosh pit. It was a punk show. And I haven't been in a mosh pit in a really long time.
It's high voltage in there.
Yeah.
What is that thing where they run back and forth together in the pit?
Oh my God.
That wasn't happening.
No, that was not happening. Okay. That was not happening.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, no. And I think that is reserved for like Megadeth shows, mm-hmm. or like places where that's why you're there, is to like get hurt in the mosh pit.
Right. But you bring a pocket knife.
No. There also really are all these like unspoken rules that are so fascinating in a mosh pit, where it's like, no matter how intense things are going, if someone falls, like everyone knows to like immediately make space for them to get up and like help someone.
Yeah, but I feel like that's because you're seeing like a feminist post-punk band or something. Like you're not seeing
Megadeth. Yeah, could be. Though I will say that it was a crazy experience. Three people fainted or like went down or were too fucked up before the show even started. Like we're just like standing around and then all of a sudden like all the lights would come on and I would look down and there was like a man on the ground and we were like, what the fuck, oh my God. And I don't know what, everyone was dropping like flies.
Oh my God, that's like going out in London and 10 p.m at night.
Oh my God,
people just on the ground, vomiting in the club line. Like,
yeah, girl puked.
I do love that drinking's kind of back in that way.
It is back.
I know. And like dating apps are out. People are like, no.
It's 2014 again in some way.
Maybe Blake and Taylor were ahead of their time.
I know.
With those stiletto lace-up booties.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what though. I was in Mexico this past week and it's still 2014 down there.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I mean, you are living La Vida Loca at the local dive and there are middle-aged men coming up to you and offering you cocaine and saying, I get pussy every night.
Oh my
God.
Which
was a real exchange that we had.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a really
55-year-old American white man. Yes. Pussy every night. I said, where, sir? Present me the pussy.
Yeah. Show me.
It's funny when you go to Mexico, it feels like, you know, you are in a different culture, but when you drive across the border from California, you don't have the buffer of coming in on a plane.
Yeah.
And being like, okay, here I am, landed, hola chicos. So instead you're just like, oh my God, I've just slapped in the face with like the metric system all of a sudden. And I'm like having to be bilingual again and like, let's go. And seeing Chris navigate that is really like seeing a baby deer learning to walk for the first time. He said to our taxi driver, who spoke pretty perfect English, more or less, definitely could get the job done. He said, hola, señor, cuatro in the back. Cuatro in the back?
In the back.
The man responded, yeah, of course. You want four in there?
Yeah.
You guys. It was so, when you go out to dinner in a foreign land and you go, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, such a beautiful meal. Like, unbelievable. Muchas gracias.
Yeah. Ciao.
Ciao. The universal ciao applicable in every country.
In every country in the world.
There's just something so special about really thinking that you're like bringing it home.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, oh, they've never seen culture like me before.
No. Here I am, a citizen of the world, arrived to yet another adventure.
Yeah, not just another whitey.
No.
Like,
oh, man.
No, Quattro and Beck, really.
It kind of sounds like a pop song, frankly. It could be a number one hit.
Wait.
No, Quattro in the Back?
It's what you take up to the DJ with your phone, notes app at the ready, just Quattro in the Back ? And they just give you like the nod and like the point, like it's coming.
Yeah,
hold
yeah.
up. It's coming. Yeah, it's like Danza Kuduro. It's like Quattro in the Back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know it's got like a fucking sick drop.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's Quattro in the Back.
That's Quattro in the Back.
I know.
And it works. It's like you're listening it in an Uber drunk. Can you imagine? Quattro in the Back comes on. You're like, put it, volume up, please.
Wait. Yeah. So can someone cue up Quattro in the Back?
It's all there.
It's perfect.
I know. That'll be our first single.
Honestly, that's one realm of creativity we haven't explored.
Yeah, that's actually the only one. You and I are writing, we're...
Name it. Say it out loud.
We're painting.
I guess we're talking.
We're talking.
Yeah.
Oral arts. The oral arts.
That's something else. Which we know only you're doing.
Graduate degrees in. My PhD.
PH in the D.
Yeah!
This is not this kind of... No. This is not cool.
We go blue just for this one episode.
That is one realm that we haven't explored. Because I think... Was it you telling me about... Who is the songwriter who penned Espresso? Didn't she have like a journalism background? Like lived in the south of France with Sabrina Carpenter?
No, not journalism background, though.
Oh,
she
regular?
Was in music school. Just musical regular background.
Musical background.
Just regular. Fuck. Regular background. But... I did interview her and...
Wait, what's her name?
Amy Allen.
Oh, Amy. So, okay. Yeah. So we were talking about the same person.
Yeah. Yes. And she... Her come up was, of course, through Selena Gomez, as all of our come ups were. And she basically like, recorded a voice note in her phone of either love you to lose you or heartbreak or one of those.
The way you butch... Wait, do you mean the heart wants what it wants?
Yeah.
Which I think was the closest she got to a number one. Or about Justin Bieber also.
Yeah.
And then she had another Justin Bieber oriented hit, which was her first number one, which was
Love You to Lose Me.
Lose you to love me.
Yeah.
Love me to lose you. You get lost in the love.
Yeah.
But we're going to flip it and reverse it. And it's like, lose you
I
to love
to
me.
I had to lose you to love me.
Yeah.
Which is profound.
That's a good message.
Yeah. Lovely theme.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was one of those songs and she just kind of like, da, 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 like, you know, recorded it into a voice note and somehow that voice note ended up in Selena Gomez's hands. And she was like, I need this girl now. And we're going to record this song. I love this song. This needs to be my next song.
Whoa.
And recorded it. And it really does feel like a lesson specifically to me. I tend to be like, this is only going to be done when I have written one draft and then two drafts and then I sleep on it for 2 days and then I return and then I fix up that draft and then I delete everything and then I start a new one and then now it's ready.
Yes.
And it's like, what if your first draft, the first thing that came out of your brain was actually the final draft and was the thing that moved everything for you?
Well, that's the thing. I think I'm very by the seat of my pants. Like I just, if I overthink it, I will lose the nerve every time.
Yeah.
But it is amazing that you will start with like the middle.
Yeah, that is how I write.
Yeah, and then hit the intro, then hit the conclusion.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I know.
I start with the first sentence on the page.
I remember watching you write 5 years ago. You like had a story due and we were randomly in the Silver Lake La Colombe writing together.
Mm-hmm.
Me, you, and Ray from Girls who popped in randomly.
Who the hell is that?
From Ray. Ray from Girls.
Oh, Ray the man. The male character?
Yeah, the male... actor who played Ray in
grumpy old man.
Yeah,
Ray?
Grumpy old man.
Oh wow, he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Oh my God, your memory is unbelievable.
I was actually just talking about this last night. I remember a lot.
You do.
And I remember things like early in my life.
That's crazy.
But then there are definitely, you know, whole chunks missing. But
yeah, no, I mean, like, I just like go through start to finish. And I don't know why that is. Mm. I couldn't tell you.
Definitely has something to do with our brains.
Oh, I know.
If I had to guess.
I know. I think you have that, like, that oddest unwellness, which makes a genius.
Could be. Could be. I'm not feeling particularly well today.
No, I'm just thinking about The Heart Wants What It Wants. Sorry to circle all the way back around.
But yeah.
That, do you remember that intro monologue and how insane it was?
Oh, yeah.
Where she was like, but you made me feel stupid. Do you remember this?
Oh, my God.
I can still, wait, I'm going to pull it up.
Yeah.
I can still hear it.
It was profound. I'm taking a sip of my sparkling ice while you do that.
Yeah, please. Need that sponsorship.
Where do you buy them?
In bulk from the supermarket.
Amazing.
It's the one fun thing I'm allowed, famously, by Chris. Because, you know, he...
Oh, yeah. No snacks in the house.
No snacks in the house.
These things have zero sugar in them.
I mean, does anything have zero, you know?
Yeah.
So stupid.
Oof.
But then you make me feel crazy. You make me feel like it's my fault.
That's the part. That's the part that stays with me. You make me feel crazy. You make me feel like it's my fault. I don't know why.
It's oh,
like,
my God.
Oh, my God.
We're all.
We're being so Ivala, you and I. Evil. Yeah,
evil.
With a slight twist to make it not feel so intense.
Yeah. It's very vulnerable.
I mean, I guess if you just want to hang your ex out to dry.
Yeah.
Like, make them feel terrible.
Absolutely. But people love stuff like this also, in that, like, there's a whole genre of TikToks where people are just, like, sobbing to the camera.
I know, that's so true. I mean, and she really was ahead of the curb 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Have you listened to our Justin Bieber episode?
No, not recently. I mean, yeah.
But like, not
recently.
Yeah, neither. I wonder, were we kind to him?
I think we were. It was also such a good profile. We were definitely kind to the profile.
Yeah, definitely. It was incredible profile.
I think we were. I think we were.
It was at the height of his apology tour. I think it was titled, like, Justin Bieber Wants to Apologize. But
we definitely did talk about his missteps.
Well, yeah, he was getting carried out of brothels, like, at that time.
Yeah. This and being on, like, Mayan temples.
Yes, so. Yeah.
There was totally. A lot going on.
There was a lot going on. And now, obviously, we have context in hindsight of, whew.
I know.
It's really crazy. Everything that has come out about the Diddy scandal is so much worse than the imagination can conjure.
Yeah.
It's like the baby oil revelations. Like, and if you aren't familiar, look them up. I don't feel like I can repeat them on air.
No.
But I thought it was really just for a bit of, like, bump and grind with you know, the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, everything is so much worse than we were led to kind of believe, or that we would have presumed.
It's just, it is a true horror show.
Did you hear that celebrities have already paid? They've already settled to keep their names out of the...
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy. That, I think, the Scorpio sense of justice in me is like, that really just lights a fire under me. I'm like, no, you can't just money your way out of this one.
No. And it's crazy that that's totally how it happens.
How the justice system works.
Yeah. It's like, if you have enough money, you are free of all crimes.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, doesn't matter what you did.
Pretty much. Yeah. Or they kill you.
Yeah. That's true.
It's like,
then you reach the top there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now you actually have too much money and you have to die.
Right.
You know, too much.
No, it's like, we watch, I think, movies and TV shows about this and feel like it's so far-fetched and surreal. And yet this is, like, reality.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I know. We light up our cigarettes here. We're like, Jesus.
Oof. Yeah. Our conservativeness just...
I know.
Once again, rearing its head.
I remember last time asking, like, what possibly could we...
Come back with next week.
And here we are.
Here we are.
The justice system.
We really are going to take on religion in schools next week.
I feel like I'm sure we are.
As I sit here wearing a Catholic schoolgirl kilt.
Yeah,
of
course. You are. It's almost, no one would believe us if we told you.
No. Okay, well, if you want to talk about Catholic schoolgirls, I mean, that could not have been a better segue.
I agree.
Me love.
Me hats off.
Today, we're going Gaga for one. Stephanie Giamatti, who was raised, who's Italian American, but was raised in a Catholic school, which feels like very on brand. She's from, like, an upper middle class Catholic family, and went to Convent of the Sacred Heart, which was a private all girls Roman Catholic school. Although she did say that she was either too provocative or too eccentric to be there, which, I mean, tracks.
For sure.
Tracks. But
It's crazy we haven't done her yet.
It's crazy we haven't done her. And it's interesting that we would choose a profile like this, which is actually a Q&A.
Yeah.
Which we have tried to avoid.
Yeah.
So time and time again, the exception we made was for, of course, George and Brad, because that was like a back and forth conversation.
And John Mayer.
Oh, you're right. I always forget about Mr. Mayer.
We've only made it when it's really important that everyone knows what happened here.
Yeah. And this, it does feel important. This was in 2010. She was on the cover of Rolling Stone, and it's written by one of the most like accredited writers we have ever covered. Neil Strauss, initially invited by John Perales, famous music critic at the New York Times, to become a columnist there. He wrote Pop Life. And then Jan Wenner, who owns Rolling Stone and Wenner Media, asked him to become a contributing writer at Rolling Stone. He has written cover stories on Kurt Cobain, Madonna, Tom Cruise, Orlando Bloom, Wu-Tang Clan, Gwen Stefani, Stephen Colbert, Marilyn Manson. Like, the list is stellar. And I think that's what led to his first New York Times bestseller, which was Everyone Loves You When You're Dead, a compilation of 228 celebrity vignettes from his career as a journalist, which I think about all the time. I'm like, who is out here just compiling the celebrity anecdotes, you know?
Yeah. 228 also?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I know. It must have just been like one page per person.
Yeah.
And also pretty litigious. Yeah. I would be scared to really like go on record with true thoughts and feelings about various interviews I've done.
Yeah.
We should read that. And then came in 2015, The Truth, an uncomfortable book about relationships. And it was like an autobiographical take on his own attempts to maintain a long-term relationship. Again, brave man.
Yeah.
Bold. And then he also co-authored with Kevin Hart, I Can't Make This Up, Life Lessons. That was his third number one New York Times bestseller. And then fourth number one New York Times bestseller was The Creative Act, A Way of Being, which came out last year and was his book with Rick Rubin.
That came out last year?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that I had fucked up and I've been listening to it on audiobook randomly.
And you just thought you missed it. But yeah, I thought that's fresh.
Wow.
Yeah. Hot off the press.
I have to say I'm very impressed with Rick Rubin. No. Which feels like the silliest thing in the world.
Everyone says that book is amazing.
Yeah. I am really struck. I'm really struck. He seems so like such a peaceful man.
Yeah, I know.
We could really learn a lot from him.
Speaking of Justin Bieber, he got in the studio and chopped with that boy. He was really going for it. And then he also, of course, launched a true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA, which focused on the death of Adea Shabani. So, I mean, he is really just a sparkling example of what a journalist and writer and multi-hyphenate can be.
Damn.
In this goddamn industry.
Yeah, sort of like right there at the top.
Yeah. So the meeting of the minds between Neil Strauss, obviously one of the most iconic journalists of his time, with one of the most iconic pop stars of her time. And this came out in 2010. Interesting year. And one of the only years that we haven't covered yet.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, I do feel like we've done 400 2012.
We have.
A lot of 2016.
I've been so excited to like regurgitate what the research I've already done. But alas, I had to come in this
brand
time.
New.
Brand
fresh.
New. Why are you doing this to me, mother? Watch her in the back.
Now we have to produce a song
with Rick Rubin. Was it the one episode where you were just like, no, and we are going to that, the feature film that we're going to write. And I was
it's become my bit. I was also, I want you to know that when I talked about Neil Strauss' book, the like celebrity interviews, I was like, oh my God, we should start a book club and everyone read that book. It's like our 19th department, our 19th department. We have the podcasting department. We have our music department. We have legal department.
Mm-hmm.
Very underserved.
To get back to 2010 a little bit. I'm sorry.
Take me out back.
So Avatar continued to dominate the box office. It was released in 2009, but literally like fell over into the next year as the highest grossing film of all time until Avengers Endgame.
Ugh.
And then Inception also debuted this year.
Oh yeah.
Glee. Glee was the biggest show on television.
Of course.
A lot of celebrity guest stars, a lot of covers of pop songs. And this coincided with the rise of Instagram. Instagram was launched in 2010 and became almost immediately one of the most popular social media platforms, revolutionizing the way people shared photos online. I mean, no more albums. See ya.
Yeah.
Just had to had to raw dog it with a gingham filter, slap it on there, upload it with feeling crazy tonight. LOL. Yeah.
Just a photo of an omelet.
Yes.
Yum.
Blown out to all hell with saturation.
White. A white omelet on a white plate.
It was art. It was artistic.
Everyone was like, wow.
I goes, I've been a Wellbutrin girl. I've been a three glass of wine a night girl. I have been a runner's high girl even. And that one, I just can't recommend. But what I can recommend is becoming an Uma Mama. I'm telling you, this is the future. Microdosing psilocybin. It is absolutely game-changing in terms of mood stabilization, feeling increased focus and creativity without any of the hallucinogenic downfall of taking recreational psilocybin. The purpose of Uma is to enhance your daily routines and promote a sense of ease without alcoholic or pharmaceutical intervention. I'm talking like long-term mental and physical health benefits that you are going to be able to feel. Even just taking 150 milligrams, I'm not jittery the way I would be after my 3 iced Americanos. It's just a game changer. You feel like an enhanced social clarity. You don't feel like you need to have like one drink to talk to someone at a party or take a photo. You should feel improved emotional balance, self-worth, mental clarity. Honestly, I've never really felt anything like it. Uma comes in super easy to dose capsules, much like any of the vitamins you take day to day. Consistency is key. That's why we had to give you a goddamn insane discount. 35% off just for our Uggos with the code UNCOVER, UNCOVER. Can't wait for my beautiful little angels to achieve enhanced productivity, mental wellness, all with the help of Uma. 35% off with the code UNCOVER. Head to tryuma.com. TRYOOMA.com. Uma mamas, it's time to rise up.
We've lost the way.
I know.
That's all I can say.
Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, came out this year.
Right.
Are you noticing the renaissance for Kanye as we speak?
Yeah, something's changing.
It's because...
The public's forgotten.
Well, the forgotten, and they're also seeing him now as like a truth teller versus a controversial figure, specifically within the context of Diddy, how vocal he was about like certain like hip hop moguls like informing the FBI and so on and so forth, and then how he posted screenshots of a conversation with Diddy. You didn't see this?
No.
Oh yeah.
And his divorce.
And then Diddy was like, I'm coming to where you are right now. And he's like, nah. He's like, no. No, you're not. Yeah. But Beaver fever.
Not the PhD.
No.
Not the Beaver fever.
But Beaver fever,
yeah,
hit fever pitch. Okay, surging in popularity off the back of My World 2.0, which included the hit Baby. You might have heard of it.
I've heard it once or twice.
Feat Ludacris. And then Taylor Swift's Speak Now also came out this year.
Oh my God.
So it was a big moment for the teen idols, honestly.
Yeah, huge.
And then who could forget Lady Gaga's cultural dominance in this year? This was the year of the meat dress at the VMAs.
I was going to ask you. I didn't want to look it up in case you had a special surprise planned.
Surprise.
It was.
Yeah, it was. It was this year. And that is because she was on, I guess, the third year of her Fame Monster tour off the back of like 2 albums. And it was wrapping up at this point. But she was just like touring. In the same breath, she had just put out like Bad Romance. And so she was up for Video of the Year at that VMAs.
Wow.
Yeah, so a lot was going on. Do you remember when she appeared on Gossip Girl? She like did a cameo. Imagine booking Gaga for Gossip Girl now.
No.
Gaga on Succession.
That would really be something.
That's a moment.
Yeah.
Mama.
Wow.
But I mean, she had a very normal life up until this point. And it also brings me great joy that she studied for some reason. She went to NYU Tisch. She actually got early enrollment there. And she dropped out after a couple of years. I think that she thought that she didn't need it. And then her dad stopped speaking to her.
Was it in college that those students made that page about her?
What page about her?
The Stephanie Germanotta, You Will Never Be Famous.
This is the first I'm hearing of
this. Are you joking?
No.
her classmates made a page because there was like this idea that she, I mean, she was just like, I can do it. And mm-hmm. everyone was hated her for it.
Yeah.
And they made a literal Facebook page titled Stephanie Germanotta, You Will Never Be Famous.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd never heard of that.
It's wow. It's kind of harrowing. And I'm kind of like, yeah, absolutely. That would motivate me to become one of the most famous people in the entire world.
I mean, famously for you, any naysayer is just fuel in my gas little, tank.
In my fire.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So yeah. So she was like on the scene early. I mean, 2005 is the cited year that she like formed a band on the Lower East Side and performed in kind of New York's like club scene at that point in time. She was introduced to this producer, Rob, who helped develop her music. He was also credited with giving her the name Lady Gaga from the Queen song Radio Gaga. But she shifted kind of more from like electro dance vibes to incorporating like pop melody, and was signed by Streamline Records, which was at the time an imprint of Interscope, in 2007, with Akon also signing her to his Con Live label. I don't know if you remember this. Akon and Lady Gaga, like, he was on her Just Dance video.
Oh, my God.
Like, he really, he took her and ran with her, which...
Where did he go?
He's, like, bringing electricity to villages in Africa.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Truly.
Okay, so staying busy these days.
Do you remember his song, Put the Blame on Me, because he, like, humped an underage girl at a concert? But how was he to know she was underage? And that was our scandal at the time. Him putting out a full apology track. I mean, can you imagine Diddy, an apology track?
No, wouldn't do it.
Just not enough. Wouldn't cover it. But the Fame Monster in 2009 was like a smash success. It had hits like Bad Romance, Telephone, Feet, Beyoncé, and Alejandro. It won 3 Grammys, including Best Pop Vocal Album. This is really what landed her the cover of Rolling Stone at this point in time. And the Fame Ball Tour in 2009 and then the Monster Ball Tour, which ran from 2009 to 2011. Crazy. She's doing back-to-back tours. Became the highest grossing debut tour of all time, earning about $230 million.
Oh my God.
So just like a commercial darling as well as like a critical one at this point in time.
And a hard worker. Good Lord.
100%. And like this catches her, and we don't know the name of the album. We don't know the song. But this catches her in the run-up to Born This Way, her single and album, which was released in February 2011, selling over 1 million copies in 5 days and setting the Guinness World Record for the fastest selling single on iTunes. Guinness World.
Wow.
Guinness World Record. Also immediately debuted at number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100. Just unbelievable. I mean, the stats are actually great because I didn't know the stats. I mean... He immediately got another 3 Grammy nominations, including Album of the Year. Like, yeah, debuted at number 1, sold 1.1 million copies in the first week. It's like really insane. And this is what leads us here to Rolling Stone basically bestowing upon her the title of the Queen of Pop.
I didn't realize, and it still shocks me to my core, how young she was when she got famous.
Yeah.
So I thought she was an older... celebrity, or just like she seemed so fully realized.
Yes.
She never, ever, ever did the sort of like teen pop star. There was no Addison Rae, there was no Tate McRae, there was no Britney
no.
in her ascent. So she felt sort of ageless in that way.
Yes.
And
that's a great point. And in this moment, she's 24.
Yeah.
She's 24. And her talking about like feeling so tired, which we'll get into, but the title is The Broken Heart and Violent Fantasies of Lady Gaga Inside the Epic Ambition of the Biggest Pop Star in the World. Now, if I can be really honest with you, just off the bat, I get the impression almost that Neil doesn't take her that seriously. I feel like he doesn't really award her the analysis in this intro like he could have. Like, I don't feel like he knows in this moment. He's sitting with what is going to be one of the most famous female pop stars of all time, up there with, you know, Michael Jackson, Prince, Madonna. Instead, it feels like he's just on assignment a little bit.
Ooh, it's like you listening to Royals by Lorde and being like, I don't think she has it, but
yeah, I could take or leave it. Yeah, but good for her getting
best,
out there.
Best of luck.
Yeah. Yeah. So it opens thus. In her dressing room in Nottingham, England, Lady Gaga dances to the Billy Joel album, which is spinning on a small record player that's become a backstage fixture. She hops into a chair in front of her makeup mirror and plays a rough cut of the video of her latest single, Alejandro, on mute on her MacBook Pro. Considering her penchant for attention-grabbing outfits, the scene she keeps replaying is relatively sedate. "See, there's no phone on my head or phone booth," she says, referencing the telephone video. Then she backs up the video and pauses it. "I'm not even wearing any makeup here. It's just me. And people will see what's underneath everything is still me." She pauses and savors the image a little longer. "And I can still be fierce." Of course, a few scenes later in the video, she's dancing with assault rifles thrusting out of her breasts. Now, this intro leads me to believe that he just doesn't take her seriously.
This is so interesting. I was trying to figure out what about this. It's because we know now what we know. We can't unknow what will become of Lady Gaga.
Right.
But at that point in 2010, I think there were for sure people that were like, this is not long for this world. This will fizzle out in a year or two.
Well, and he uses this word twice, which I think was poor writing. But he uses the word spectacle multiple times. And I think he thinks it's all a stunt. It's all a big bit.
Yeah.
The Lady Gaga showing up in the meat dress and like trying to get more publicity because of it. It feels like he doesn't think she's like an artist worth. He does treat her with kind of like a certain reverence.
The questions are thoughtful.
And the questions
he's
are thoughtful.
Not asking, like,
he's researched.
Yeah, yes.
He's researched.
100%.
But I don't think he connects with any part of the project that is Gaga. And it's interesting. It's just like interesting to read something that 100% isn't coming from a fan.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Which is exactly as we say, interesting. It's neither bad nor good.
So,
because it can be annoying also to hear a fan write about their idol.
I mean,
that can be grating as
Timothy
well.
Timothée Chalamet, shall we take a walk down memory lane, or should I say go up to upstate and then come back down to the city and then go back up and talk about Bob Dylan ad nauseum?
Yeah.
He continues, "The former Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta is on a mission to prove that Lady Gaga is art and that her art is not a mask. It's her life. And if she were any less strong-willed, her life would be spinning out of control right now." So at this point in time, she's on tour, but her grandfather is in the hospital. Her father, with whom she's only recently come back together with, has just had heart surgery, and she was told that she's at risk of developing lupus, which is an autoimmune disease that also killed her aunt, Joanne, before Gaga was born. So all of these pressures are intersecting with this kind of like unwavering ambition that she has. She's been on this like insane rise to cultural dominance. She has a relentless work ethic, and he describes her world tour as seemingly endless, all while she completes demos for her next album. And he's like, "You would just imagine that the portrait I'm going to be painting today is that of a star on the verge of collapse, but that is not Gaga in this moment." This really stuck with me, her quote here. She says, "We're supposed to be tired. I don't know who told everyone else otherwise, but you make a record and you tour. That's how you build a career. I told my manager today, I can't wait to take all my platinum records off the walls and make room for more."
I mean, it really is. It's the Kim Kardashian, you better work.
Yeah, you better work. Like, you want this, you better work.
Yeah, and why don't you try working all the time?
It feels so generational. It really does feel like millennial women who were raised on internship culture.
Yeah.
They were like, nothing's handed to you. I mean, we just got off a phone call with my sister who literally said, "You said congratulations on your promotion." She says, "Thank you. It didn't come easy."
Yeah.
Like, that's the response.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's all these women. They are proving that like you just have to like toil and toil and toil away to make something happen.
Yeah.
I think, do you know why we're losing that message? Is really just the overnight virality of TikTok stars.
Yeah. And I also think that there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and everyone's realizing that. There used to be one of like 100%. If you worked and worked and worked, it's like, even in Hollywood, it's like you got to a point where someone was just like, here is $1 million and thank you for doing all this.
Yeah. And we were raised on the concept of hard work is always rewarded. that was something that was just part of our, like, written into the doctrine of children's upbringings from 1980 to 2005.
Yeah.
Or
and then it stopped.
And then it stopped. He describes her, although savvy and ambitious, kind of naive and trusting, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Because she's already a big star at this point. She's already got Grammy. She's got, you know, platinum records, as she says. And she's been touring for fucking years. And it could be easy to become a diva and be like, I'm not doing interviews. I don't fuck around with journalists. I'm just going to twist my words. But instead, she is incredibly open. Her road manager is like, don't share this new music with a journalist, because even if it's off the record, he's going to like describe it or something. And she's like, I mean, he's going to write about everything else. I want him to know who I am. Mm-hmm. And so she fully plays him Born This Way. Again, we don't get a title here, mm-hmm. but we get pretty much everything else. So he tracks back her kind of rise. The fact that former producer and boyfriend Rob Fasari came up with her name, Lady Gaga, based on a nickname. And if you follow her story in music carefully, he says she's kind of a product of heartbreak. First from her father, a moonlighting rock musician who cut her off after she dropped out of college. Then from Island to Def Jam, which signed and dropped her. She was making piano rock at the time, and they were like, that's not what we do here.
Yeah.
Have you heard Lil Wayne? Be a little more like that. And most devastating for her, he writes, heartbreak from her passionate and tempestuous relationship with a heavy metal drummer, the only boyfriend she says she's truly ever loved, just before she became famous. So these relationships will thread in and out of the interview.
It's fascinating how similar of a story this feels to Chapel Around.
I thought you were going to say it to me.
To me. I see myself in this.
I really was anticipating that.
That's so funny. No. It hits a lot of the same notes of just like tried for a while, dropped by a label, heartbreak.
Start from scratch.
Touring constantly. And then something snaps. And...
and also becoming a concept.
Yes. And an art project.
Mm-hmm.
And being very vocal about that.
And the difference, I think, between Chapel and Gaga here is that I think the way that Chapel is interacting with the internet is to her detriment. I think she has so much power in being removed, as Gaga is. And she instead is taking it personally. And I think that is... that's the difference. I think Gaga has the foresight here to be like, oh, no, none of this is about me. This is about my other's concept, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, which is also why when you think of how smart... I was seeing this recently and I'm like, fuck, that's so smart. Whenever she was asked about whether or not she had a penis, that was like one of the early rumors about her.
Yeah.
She refused to confirm or deny. She'd mm-hmm. be like, so what if I do? What will you do if I do? And I'm like, oh my God, that's genius.
Well, it's interesting you would bring that up here because he also references the rumor. He says when she uses words like fierce or describes her sexual conquests with beautiful men, one sees why the hermaphrodite rumors about her have been so persistent. She seems at times like a gay man trapped in a woman's body. She sits on the couch, lowers the volume, and considers the idea that Lady Gaga was born in heartbreak. And here we go. We're getting into it. It is funny. That was only recently that she like came out and addressed that she was even aware.
Yes.
Because I remember in high school, boys would say that. Oh yeah, like Lady Gaga has a penis though. Like it's, she's 5'2". She's so delicate. She's so feminine. She's actually quite fragile as a person. She's like a tiny doll. But she was like self-empowered and in charge. And I don't think we'd seen a woman really do that.
No. And we gave her no credit at the time. I think everyone was just like, she's weird.
Yes. And she was so weird.
She was super weird.
If you look at her contemporaries, like a Katy Perry, Katy Perry was so overtly feminine. And so was Beyonce.
Also, what's controversial about a cupcake? Katy Perry was just like dressed as a cupcake on the head. You know, she wasn't the raw meat. You can't compare.
No.
Bloody red meat.
Yeah, and she will talk about it, but none of what she did felt crazy to her.
Yeah.
Which is honestly how I feel all the time.
Yeah.
With the things I say on this show. I'm like, you guys, chill out.
Yeah.
This is what I'd say to each of you over a Negroni.
I goes.
You know, we're always talking about clout, who has it and who doesn't. And that is why I've got to introduce you to Noumi's Clout Control Anti-Frizz Spray. This product is a literal revelation. It forms a protective coat over each individual strand of hair, and it also has a built-in UV filter. All summer long, while you're frolicking, swimming, whatever, your hair is protected from sun damage. It's got wheat protein. It's got vitamin E, keeping your hair healthy, shiny, and most importantly, long, if that's your goal. And you only need to use it like every 3 to 4 washes. It's really long lasting, and it's going to leave everyone asking, how on earth does her hair look like that? Ivana and I both have like long, thick, frizz-prone hair, and I cannot recommend a brand or a product enough. I quite literally use Noumi's flat iron every single day. As you know, I can't go a day without my hair being sleek and smooth, and Noumi's Clout Control helps with that immensely. Head to noumihair.com, that's N-U-M-E-hair.com, and take 15% off at checkout with the code UNCOVER. That's NUMEHair.com, 15% off with the code UNCOVER. We are so excited for you to try this. No frizz, no flyaways. Get that clout control going.
There's a perspective lacking sometimes where it's like, do you know how much more insane
I could be?
Yeah, at any given moment.
I mean, the lead image of this story is her covered in blood and ripped fishnets lying down on stage. So,
yeah.
I mean, she was out there.
Yeah, of course.
And there was no grandeur that was attached to like also being hot. Because as crazy as like a Beyonce or a Katie would get, they're always hot.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
She doesn't care.
No.
If she's considered a sexual object or not.
No.
Which is kind of revolutionary at this point in time. And 2010, height of Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Yeah. It really rips the power out of men's hands when you don't care. One way or the other.
Yeah.
It's like, it's actually not my job to be sexually attractive to you.
And it kind of is inadvertently the sexiest thing.
Yeah.
By default.
Yep.
So he opens here and I gotta love this.
Yeah.
When there's no question, he just says, I have a theory about you. And she goes, go ahead. Should I lay down? And then he hits her with it. And I think this is so brazen to say.
Yeah, but I agree.
But his theory is, if she had never gotten her heart broken by some guy that she was dating in the East Village 5 years ago, she would never have been as successful as she is now. I mean, to lead
those are fighting words.
Those are fighting words, because it almost like detracts from her talent.
Yeah. It credits it to him.
It credits it to a man.
Oof. I wouldn't like that.
I wouldn't like that.
Not
either.
One bit.
But instead, she validates the theory. She says, no, I wouldn't have been as successful without him. And then she cries.
I know.
She wipes away a tear. And he then goes, oh, it is fucking sexist, eh? What he's saying. Do you think that all the love you directed towards men now goes to your fans instead? As if, like, she's now an alone old hag.
Yeah.
Only her fans to love.
Now that you've crumpled up, how do you sleep at night?
Now that no one wants you. Do you have another outlet?
That's kind of brutal.
That's kind of brutal.
On the second read, it really...
Yeah, actually. And also now that I'm sitting in community with another woman.
Yeah.
Well, then he goes, okay, so did he contact you at all after you got famous? And then she says, I don't want to talk about him. And then he goes, okay. And then she apologizes.
Okay, what follows also, she says, I'm sorry. I want to, but he's too precious to talk about. And he says, I'm surprised. I thought that you'd be over it by now.
Nagging. He's goading her into a response right now, which, I mean, maybe the mark of a good journalist, for me, feels like very predatory.
And then the next question, do you think with that guy it was obsession or love?
No, she tries to keep diverting and he won't let her do it. She says, love, but you know, I don't really know very much about love. I suppose if I knew everything about love, I wouldn't be very good at making music, would I? And then he goes, well, some artists make their best music when they're in love. Like, he really won't even let her take an inch.
Yeah.
I do love this next quote, though. She responds. She doesn't even justify that question with a response. She just says, I'm terrified of babies.
Yeah.
Iconic. And then she says, I think creatively as a woman, you change once you give birth. And I'm not totally ready for that.
Heard. Yeah.
Heard, felt, seen, embodied.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, for 1 second, let off the gas. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, here we are. Funny little bit about the babies. And then straight back down to the floor. Gas pedal to the floor. Did you have any resolution with your father after he cut you off during your wild days?
Okay. It's almost like, I'm like, where is he getting this information? It's like he met up with her mom and was like, so like, what's been going on? Give me the 411.
Yeah.
You know, she responds, and this kind of, I can't lie to you. Her answer freaks me out here. She says, you know, the fear of losing him because he just underwent heart surgery, was like really real. She says, the fear of losing the man of my dreams, such as my dad, there's fucking Freud for you, was terrifying. So the biggest fear of my life has passed. Okay. Would you call your father the man of your dreams?
No. No.
As much as I love that man, Slobodan.
Yeah.
Shout out.
He's the man of a lot of people's dreams, mm-hmm. not of mine.
Hope he never hears this.
No.
And then he says, do you feel like you're fulfilling your dad's unrealized rock star ambitions? Which I actually think is a really fair question. And she goes, yeah, I do. I love my daddy. My daddy's everything. I hope I can find a man that will treat me as good as my dad.
Then he follows it. You usually fall for dirty musician types. And your dad's a musician. So...
dot, dot, dot. And she goes, yeah, it's loopy. He is real.
Then... wait. That's an interesting word to choose.
I know, loopy.
Oh my God. It is foot to the gas.
No,
the
he's
time.
Really like chipping away and chipping away. And this is what I mean when I say, I mean, this is my thesis of the entire article, is that he's not really taking her seriously as an artist because it feels clickbaity.
It's like, where is the interesting angle here?
Right.
Versus like, this is an objectively interesting person. The angle will reveal itself.
Right. Exactly. Like, this doesn't feel like analysis.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a bull in a china shop. It's someone just like barreling someone over, just repeatedly taking hits and hits and hits until their armor just cracks.
Setting it in its time. We've lost the edge for sure these days. Of like, journalists used to be way more comfortable asking just like brutal questions to anyone.
Yeah.
Just like, do you regret your marriage? It's like, oh
yeah. Like, Demi Moore and Bruce Willis. Do you trust him?
Do you trust him? How have you recovered after being cheated on? Just, you know, questions that we might balk, like if a friend asked or like whatever it might be. Like,
and here, this is a very veiled attempt to get her to admit to drug use. They say most workaholics are that way because it's an addiction and a way to avoid other things. I mean, that to me is the most cut and dry. Have you been addicted to drugs and are you replacing it with work?
And speak now if you are.
And speak now.
Yeah. And tell me what kind, ideally. What kinds?
She is just navigating this with so much grace. I've really got to tip my hat.
Yeah.
Because at any point she could be like, this is over. This interview's over.
Don't want to talk about wanting to fuck my dad. Don't want to talk about drugs.
Yes. And instead she goes, you know, music heals me. So it is heroin because I do feel like I need the fix to feel better. She says, when you work as hard as I do, you resign your life to something like music or art or writing. You have to commit yourself to the struggle and commit yourself to the pain. And I commit myself to my heartbreak wholeheartedly. It's something that I'll never let go. But that heartbreak, in a way, is my feature, is a representation of the process of my work. As artists, we are eternally heartbroken.
A poet.
I mean, hated to read that as a creative.
Yeah.
Committing to life of heartbreak, constant rejection, and feeling less than.
Mm-hmm.
But yet so committed to the craft that you stay in it, even if it's not what's working for you.
Yeah. And it is like, it is always, there will always be frustration in any creative field.
So do you think workaholism is a way of avoiding intimacy and the vulnerability that comes with that? And she goes, well, actually, like, sex isn't a priority at the moment. And he's like, oh, sex and intimacy are two different things. And she goes, well, I view sex and intimacy as the same. I'm in a different place now than I was 2 years ago. So I guess I'm a woman now. And then he's like, well, what do you mean by you're a woman now? And she says, I don't know. I feel different. I think different. I care less and less about what people think as the hours go by. I feel very strong. And basically, I mean, look, this all comes back to the fact that she is watching a grandparent in decline. And she's also like written two albums in a very like Charlie XCX way about whether or not she wants to be a celebrity, whether she likes this world and life as someone who is just like wants to make music and didn't necessarily sign up for the other part of it. And this is one of the most like honest and beautiful ways I've heard someone sum up how they're approaching the lifestyle. My God, she goes, I feel that I'm relatively clever enough to control and pay. And I feel that I'm relatively clever enough to control that people pay attention more to my music and to my clothing than they do to my personal life. Trust me, I'd much rather people write about what I wear and what I'm singing and what I do in my videos than who I'm fucking. I mean, for me, that is the kiss of death.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard a truer word spoken?
No.
Because I can't look at Jacob Elordi on a big screen and not think about Olivia Jade.
This is what I was about to say.
No.
I'm not joking. No. First, we've lost the thread. We've lost the thread.
It is so like the personal is the public and vice versa. And this is what I mean about Chapel Row. I think she had the option to go this route and maintain the mystique. And instead she got bogged down in the minutiae and like couldn't not let people's opinions get to her. And that's why she's in the news cycle every other week.
She's engaging also.
She's
constantly
engaging.
Constantly. And Lady Gaga says something here that is so brilliant, I think, where she's like, I guess what I'm trying to say, this is showbiz for me. It might not be showbiz for the rest of you, but for me, this is showbiz. If I were to ever, God forbid, get hurt on stage and my fans were screaming outside of the hospital waiting for me to come out, I'd come out as Gaga. I wouldn't come out in sweatpants because I busted my leg or whatever.
I mean, she won't even take a sip of water on stage. She won't let her fans see her take a sip of water on stage.
Really?
Because that breaks the spell.
I mean, it does.
Then we're back on an earthly plane watching our favorite artists have to hydrate. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
She compares herself to Michael Jackson. I think it's actually a fair comparison because she's like, Michael would get burned and then lifted his glitter glove so goddamn high that his fans could see him because he was in the art of show business. He knew what this was about. I relate to my fans on the sense that we are levitating together towards heaven. I want my fans to focus on the fantasy of the music and be transported from where they are to somewhere else. It's crazy that this interview came before the biggest album of her career.
Yeah.
Because Born This Way, I mean, look, Art Pop was received terribly. Chromatica, lukewarm reviews. Dawn of Chromatica, also, you know, fine, good. Joanne, no. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Harlequin, my God. Oof. So the fact that he now gets into like her current writing process, like he was like, are you writing around a certain theme? And she goes, yeah, that's how I work. I sort of like spiritually harness something and then everything grows out of this one seed. And she was like, I am going to announce the title of the album at midnight on New Year's for the drama. And no one knows that, so you can print that. But she's just like, yeah, like the chorus came to me. I swear I didn't even write it. I think God dropped it in my lap. And do you remember? I think it was on stage at the VMAs that she just sang the chorus. She was like, 'cause I was born this way. And then everyone's like, okay, cool. Like she's accepting her award.
Oh my God.
It's so theater kid coded.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the impromptu singing for me, it's tough.
Yeah, I know.
No one has consented in the room.
No, it's true. It's true. You're gripping your seat for fear that it's coming.
And that is who she is, like, fundamentally.
Yeah.
But what I found so funny about this is she does the same thing here. So she was like, you know, so like it can take artists years to come up with like albums like these. But for me, I work really quickly. And she was like, wait, turn the tape off for 1 second. And then she sings Born This Way. Can you imagine her just being, and I'm the right track, baby. I was born this way.
No, I can't imagine. For an intimate audience of one.
One. And then she concludes and you just go, was any of that written on ecstasy?
Oh my God.
And she goes, no, I love ecstasy. Actually, no, I like MDMA. I don't like ecstasy.
An important distinction.
And a really important distinction, and MDMA is the way.
Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Merch coming soon.
And then this is really what like shook me, because I didn't really realize that she was so young. When I read this profile, I assumed like you did, that she was the ripe old age of 45.
45. I know. She just has never had the brand of a teen girl.
Yes.
She's never been a young girl.
No, never. She's always been fully actualized.
Yeah.
And this is, again, this is another little, I mean, he shows his hand here, how he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it at all. He says, your fans seem to really like what you stand for. They like to be reminded that it's okay to be different. I wanna take the tape recorder out and just chuck it across the room.
Yeah.
And like, look, we don't advocate for talent being interviewed by someone of their same like sex, age, class, demographic. Like, we don't think that that's always necessary.
No, and a lot of the magic of these early profiles is like, what happens when you pair a 47-year-old man with a 21-year-old starlet and
yes.
they make their magic together, which is like hilarious.
But in this moment, I'm like, can we just get someone who knows?
Yeah.
Can we just get some young gay writer?
Because there were people, for there were people, sure, there were people that knew what she was capable of, understood the project. And I mean, it's like, this is not to toot my own horn, but you know, I remember pitching Chapel Roan a year ago and
stop and getting rejected.
Getting rejected by everyone. Everyone being like, don't know who that is. Don't get it. Don't think, you know, not quite big enough, but thank you.
It's happened to me so many times.
I'm like, you fools, you could have had a profile a year ago.
Yeah.
You could have been on the cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are, tripping over yourself to try to get something out.
Oh, yeah. Writing like aggregated content about how she responded to some political dialogue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Blew our minds with her Coachella performance. It's like, shut up.
So he doesn't get it. But he asks the questions like, your fans seem to really love you.
Yeah.
As you are. And she goes, no, I love what they stand for. They inspire me to be more confident every day. When I wake up in the morning, I feel like any other insecure 24-year-old girl. But I say, bitch, you're Lady Gaga. You better fucking get up and walk the walk today. Because they need that from me. They inspire me to keep going. 24.
It's so young. It's so unbelievably young.
To have been touring for 3 years.
And you're 24 now, on the other side of it. Talking about your past. Yes. Your storied past.
Yeah. The love of my life.
And what you're willing to do. That's already passed.
Yeah.
He was the love of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
It's actually really tough to fathom.
Yeah.
Being her in this moment. It's just like so deeply unrelatable.
Well, some people really have experienced more life at 25 than some people will their whole lives.
Do you ever feel like when you can't do what someone does? Like, I feel vaguely competitive because I'm like, oh, I could never have done this at 24.
No, I know exactly what you mean. It's how I feel when I watch the Olympics.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, here's an area that I would never find myself.
Mm-hmm.
Here is something I could never do, really, because I don't want to. I don't have an interest in it. Sports were not a part of my life in any way. And these people had dedicated
talent
and
skill.
Zero talent and skill. Yep. A bum hip.
That up top.
Let's remind on that. And these people have dedicated their entire lives to it.
Yeah.
Any free moment. They've trained for that 1 minute on the little squishy pad.
I know.
Flipping around.
And you know what's a tough pill to swallow? Is that they could absolutely, any of them.
Don't say this.
Could type on a laptop.
They could.
It's not like they're looking at you and going, you know, they have fingers and they're literate.
Yeah.
So
that's what it is, I think. It's that it's not two equals standing side by side.
Yeah, I know.
It's me.
It's you on a much
peering
lower
around
podium.
A tree. Looking at all the people having fun.
I mean, she gets into a little bit about the fact that music doesn't necessarily have to be your personal life, your bleeding heart on display. And I feel like whenever an artist talks about this, they are kind of like coming for Taylor Swift in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
There's always, like, she was like, you know, I don't mean to sound crass, but like, I don't really give a shit if it's about like someone's personal life. Like, music is a lie. Art is a lie.
That I want to come true so desperately.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. I mean, is that not another way to speak of manifestation?
Oh,
you lie until it's true.
You lie until it's true. Fake it till you make it.
I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich.
I am learning more and more in this city, being showbiz adjacent, that no one is telling the truth.
No.
Everyone is inflating their numbers.
Yes.
Everyone is like padding the resume.
And it's not even just strangers. It's people we know.
I was just watching an episode of The Real Housewives where they said, I don't know a single actor who hasn't lied to get a job. And I was so comforted by that.
People are lying about their ages.
Yeah. Was it you that was telling me?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't. We can't say it.
Well, no, just that I had a friend that was like losing it because she's turning like 29 or whatever. And she was like, but my IMDb says I'm 23. So we're all good.
No, everyone's lying.
Everyone's lying at all times. But there is something to be said about what it can do for you.
And not to...
You and I are lying.
Right here, right now?
No, just in general. I mean...
Just in general? Hey.
Hey.
Don't...
No.
You choose today of all days to expose us for our lies?
For our lies.
You know what we're not lying about, though? Is today's our first virtual salon.
Yeah.
We're covering Charlie XCX's New York Mag cover.
Yeah. It's why I have mascara streamed down under my eyes.
I know. I'm in character. But she literally says in that profile, no one says you have to tell the truth to press.
Yeah.
Like, you press is a tool and we should just be lying to them.
Yeah.
And it really reminds me, the only other person I've ever heard say that was Robert Pattinson.
Oh my God, yeah.
Who actively lied through every press junket.
I think there's something very funny about it.
There really is. I don't know. It's a tough tightrope for me.
Do you lie?
No, not really.
Yeah, I lie. But I lie. I'm getting better about this. As you know, one of my big projects being on time. Being on time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say most reoccurring crime is telling someone I'm on the way. Before I'm on the way.
Yeah. Or that's real. And I honestly think I could benefit from lying more.
I agree.
If I'm being honest.
No pun intended. Lying is very off brand for you. I would be shocked if I found out that like a bold faced lie occurred.
I was thinking about that because I was with a friend yesterday who revealed to me that she's on Ozempic.
Oh my God.
And I mean, this is a girl who I would categorize as like normal to small body type. And she didn't eat her fruit cup at brunch. And I was like, gonna have that.
Yeah.
So I like reached over and I like had a bit of pineapple. And then she was like, oh my God, just take it. And I was like, oh no, like I can't take the whole thing. I was just having a little piece.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I'm not gonna eat it. And then I looked at her accompanying breakfast burrito and she had only eaten half of one half, which as we all know in the mathematical community is a quarter of your breakfast burrito. And I thought, did you not like your breakfast burrito and now you just only have your fruit left? Then I can't take the fruit.
Yeah.
From an ethical standpoint. And she said, actually, I'm on Ozempic, so I can't eat it. And I thought, whoa, she could have lied to me
100%. In
that
moment.
She could have lied. I really respected that she didn't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, I think I probably would have lied.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. If you got surgery, if you did any kind of like aesthetic tweakments or improvements or whatever, would your inclination be to lie?
Yeah, probably.
Probably, right?
Yeah. Gut
instinct.
I'm not going to open this can of worms to anyone.
Right.
I'm kind of like, you know.
And like also it was the accessibility of the, I mean, she is paying $200 a month. And she said that the money she has saved on food. I'm like, that's a byproduct we didn't consider. She was like, yeah, I'll have one dinner. It'll last me three lunches. Holy shit. Because you best believe I'm making it rain on the restaurants of Los Angeles.
Oh my God. My Uber Eats.
Yeah. Just.
Yeah.
Bags of cash.
Yeah. On the table.
The tip, the tax, the whole.
Yeah. Line. All of it. And you know, it's gotta be 20%.
It's gotta be 20%. So she told the truth and it was the one time I was like, well, I really appreciate you telling the truth. That's lovely. But I think I would have lied.
Yeah.
I would have gone a different direction. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Like I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, if I did go to Turkey for my nose, as we've talked about.
Yeah. Would you own up?
I don't know.
Yeah.
If it was just such a small difference.
Depends on how subtle the work was.
Yeah.
There, if you came back with a tiny ski slope nose.
No.
And tried to be like, no, no. Well, but
I show up, I'm full Medicine Bear. What? Nothing's changed.
No, nothing's changed.
I just had a beautiful holiday in Eastern Europe.
Yeah. I went to a hammam.
No, but there are some people who are really forthcoming because there's literally no choice. Like girls who get boob jobs and stuff are really like open about it because they're like, well, before I was an A cup, now I'm not.
Yeah,
so.
A busty D at this point.
This doesn't just happen overnight.
No. Yeah. Oh my God. Speaking of showing skin though.
Oh,
The next part of this was so fascinating to me. Basically, he sort of calls her out for showing skin.
Yeah.
It's like, you dress super brazenly sexually, showing a lot of skin. And he's like, you know.
This is Neil again not getting it. Because she shows skin, but it's not sexual.
I would agree completely.
It's art.
The video for Alejandro, I would not like.
No.
Yes, she is not wearing a lot of clothing, but like she looks scary in a lot of it.
Yeah, she's like in a bra and panties and a ripped fishnet. It does not denote anything sexual.
No.
It is just performance and choice.
Yeah. This part, he says, is there a form of like social control happening? And he explains that she feels uncomfortable socially, so she makes other people uncomfortable. That way she'll feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
And she's like,
and she says,
oh, that's interesting, but I am actually super comfortable. So yeah.
She was like, this makes me feel comfortable. And this is what we were talking about earlier. She says that like 79% of the time, she's shocked by how people respond to her. She is shocked that they are so shocked because she's like, I don't really think I'm doing anything particularly groundbreaking.
Honestly, I get it.
No,
especially if you're a truly creative person, which I really believe she is. I don't know if the same can be said of every pop star.
Yeah.
Like I think Beyonce is a truly creative person. I think that she's doing, like she's breaking molds.
Mm.
She's having fascinating ideas. And then I think other people just like know good marketing and.
Well, it's interesting. And this is very, I mean, Charlie coded too, is she talks about like, she doesn't necessarily have like a musical strategy as a pop artist, but she does like tricking people into listening to something intelligent. She serves the medicine with a spoonful of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's interesting to speak to you because you have this intellectual. Fuck, he's a.
Stop. You can't say that.
I can't say that. He's like, it's interesting to speak to you because you have this intellectual and artistic side. Saying that Lady Gaga has an artistic side. Well, I'm really getting to see your artistic side for once.
Yeah. It's like when men are like, whoa, you're actually funny for a woman. And it's like.
And the woman's a comedian.
Sir!
The woman's a stand-up comedian. Yeah,
a professional.
With a Netflix special.
Full Netflix special has been doing this for 15 years.
Yes. Because he's like, because half your hits are about clubbing and being drunk. The fact that she was just tolerating this.
I know.
Is really.
I actually am shocked because she is not. She will call a spade a spade.
I think this is all for the benefit of like Rolling Stone in the cover. Like she's going to just
get it
done.
I mean, again, she's 24. It would have been super crazy for her to
walk off.
Yeah.
100%. But she was like, I like to seduce people into being interested in something that is uncomfortable. She describes it as like she's been baking cakes and now she's going to bake a cake that has a bit of jelly. And he's like, oh, well, okay. Basically, what she's saying is like the message has always been subliminal, but if you look for it and you can find it. But now she's like, I'm still going to do the pretty pop package, but it's going to say something. And this is what Born This Way did.
Yeah.
She was like, the message of the new music is now more bitter than it was ever before because the sweeter the cake, the more bitter the jelly can be. It's a great metaphor, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone that loves like a tart jam with a Victoria sponge.
Mm-hmm. You know what she's talking about.
The baking heritage really jumped up.
Generations of bakers.
The fact we bring that up every other episode.
As
if it's a huge part of my identity, generations of bakers.
Some of our through lines are the least serious through lines that like we cannot help ourselves but bring up.
This particular reference is that my family owned the first bake shop in my hometown in the 1800s.
And we can't stop talking about it still.
She's like, if I had to come out as who I was, no one would be listening. Now people are listening. So I can be inspirational and I'm in a different place in my life. I'm interested in different things. I've got fame now, so I don't want to write about it anymore. So before it was obviously Just Dance. Like it was fun, light, fruity, no frills pop.
Yeah.
And now she's a woman with a message.
I love a woman with a message.
Love a woman with a message. Here we divert.
Yeah.
For the first time in the Q&A. He writes, 15 minutes before her performance that night, Lady Gaga asks if she can continue the interview afterward. As soon as the show ends, she rushes from the stage to the tour bus, covered in... Are you going to yawn while I...
I'm so sorry.
Just yawning while I deliver
this
reading. You yawned into the mic too. You were like, oh.
I lost myself. I thought I was alone in the room.
As soon as the show ends, she rushes from the stage to the tour bus covered in stage blood. As the bus lurches out of the backstage parking lot, she hears screaming outside, then yells to the bus driver, hold on, will you stop the bus? I'm going to say hi to fans. Her security guards disapprove, but they relent. She walks to the door of the bus and opens it, and hundreds of fans stampede towards her. The security guards start yelling for the driver to shut the door, and the bus pulls away. She smiles, pleased, and walks back to continue the interview with a glass of white wine and chicken fingers.
Perfect.
Talk about it. What do they call it these days with the chicken Caesar salad and the fries and the martini? This is the real...
Girl dinner?
No.
No.
You know, it's like the perfect meal. Like, doesn't get better than this. It's a Caesar salad, like, and some fries.
This or nothing.
This or nothing for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
This is the real meal.
Yeah. Chicken fingers and white and a crisp glass of white wine.
Oh, fuck. What I wouldn't give right now.
Me after having just eaten a chicken and waffle literally 20 minutes ago.
I'm salivating.
Yeah.
For a crisp Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh. Drool hits the mic.
No. With a little, like a BBQ sauce and a ranch.
Yeah.
Just to.
Of course.
Whoa.
Yeah. That stuff's pretty good. That stuff's
pretty good.
I do feel that way about martini fries and Caesar salad. That's a perfect trifecta right there.
Are you fucking kidding me?
What?
Did you just have a stroke?
No.
That's literally just what I said.
I know.
That's just what I was describing.
Well, you said a couple of the elements. I'm
not. No, I said all things. Yeah. I said all three. I said martini, Caesar salad, and fries.
No, you're right. You did say
what it. What the fuck just happened? Thank God that's recorded. I felt like I was losing. You introduced that like it was a new idea.
Me plagiarizing your IP. Live on
minutes,
air.
Minutes prior. Oh my God.
It's coming back to me now. It's coming back to me now.
Jesus.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so.
It takes a turn now.
We
have to lock in.
No more chicken fingers.
No more chicken fingers. No more wine. We're moving into like heavier territory.
Yeah.
She talks about that she was like a really bad kid growing up. And he very boldly here suggests that her behavior indicates signs of someone who's had traumatic experiences in their adolescence or childhood. Is that something you would ever discuss publicly? Can you believe that?
I actually can't. Because what she's talking about is like she got drunk as a teen.
Yeah.
Which we all did that.
Yeah, yeah. She was talking about like, I was such a bad kid. I used to like, you know, run around and get wasted. And he's like, well, actually, I've noticed from the outfits, the skimpy outfits and your time on stage, that you probably have some really, really fucked up past.
And then he cites Christina Aguilera. And he was like, Christina Aguilera talked about growing up in domestic abuse, and there was actually no negative response to that. It ended up informing her work. Passing it back to you here.
It's such a reach. Like, it is a leap into the oblivion to be like, what has happened to you? Has anything happened to you? Give it to me now. Give me the exclusive.
Yeah.
It's really insane to have no lead in into this.
And this is the thing. It's like people do ask questions like this, you know, whether it's good or bad or immoral or whatever it is, journalists really do. But what is fascinating to me is that usually it's baked into.
Yeah. He did a sharp right turn, basically.
Yeah. And I think, like, expose that he asked in this way.
Because that's the thing. When you're having this conversation, he doesn't say, rephrasing this question, he could have been like, were you punished by your parents? Like, there's so many different ways to jump off that question.
Yeah, or,
right?
Like, put me in your headspace at the time. You're right. Like, what were you thinking
and,
about?
And how did you mature out of that? Instead, he just says, your behavior indicates you've had trauma, which, okay, you're a psychologist, Neil. And is that something you would ever discuss publicly?
Not, is that something that happened?
Not, is that something, not. Just assuming it did. And then she hesitates. She hesitates and says, I feel like I tell the story in my own way. My fans know who I really am. I don't want to teach them the wrong things. You have to be careful about how much you reveal to people who look up to you so much. They know who I am. And if they're smart, like you, they can make that assessment. But I don't want to be a bad example. And then he, once again, he reaches. He throws out the fishing line, hoping to hook something. And goes, a bad example in the sense of being a victim? She goes, yeah, and I'm not a victim. And my message is positive. My show has a lovely naivete and melancholy to it. That's my art. If I told that other story in that way, I don't know if that's the best way I can help the universe. He says, because if you did talk about it, then things you did would be misinterpreted and seen through that experience. She's just like, if I say one thing in our interview right now, it would be all over the world the day after it hits the stands. It would be twisted and turned. And it's like you have to honor some things. Some things are sacred.
I have full body chills. I mean, to have this sense at 24 of like, no, I'm not, I don't owe you everything that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I can't say the same for myself at 24.
No.
That was when I was like, yeah, maybe I could do the Jane XO thing and just write like brutal personal essays about everything that's ever happened to me and sell them for $200.
I know. So
I was like, that seems like a great idea.
Yeah. So what she's referring to and what would come out later is that she was sexually assaulted by a producer when she was 19 and she actually got pregnant. And then she like had to go home to her parents. This is what she's referring to. She was raped in the studio. And she obviously does not have to talk about it here.
No.
But what I will say wholeheartedly is I had the most wonderful mother and father. I was never abused. I didn't have a bad childhood. All the things I went through were on my own quest for an artistic journey.
I mean, to think that this was only 5 years later, and we know how trauma works. Mm-hmm. We know how complicated it is to heal from. I would say 5 years is pretty fresh.
Very fresh. And this is not all. Like, there's also been copious drug use. She alludes to like a drug addiction. Like, she's like, I've had obstacles with drugs and rejection and people not believing in me. It's been a long and continuous road, but I have to believe in something greater than myself. And then they talk about like religion. She has a relationship with Deepak Chopra, which is quite funny. God,
everyone does.
Everyone does.
I mean,
what does he say? Quantum healing?
Maybe.
That's his whole kind of quantum platform. Healing.
We need to look into that, you and I.
I'd
like to be quantum healed.
I tell you what, the doctors don't believe in it.
No. Quattro in the back.
Quattro in the back. And she'll like call him when she has really bad dreams and is like, you know, the devil's trying to take me, Deepak. Like, it's pretty intense. And then he'll just respond, you are so very creative, my Gaga.
That's like kind of how I call my grandma when I really intense dreams, and she'll say something similar to me.
Really?
Yeah. Oh
my God, I've always assumed not a soul wants to hear about a dream that I've had.
No, the superstitious people do.
That's true.
Because for her, they mean something. Mm. There are dreams I can't tell her about because they mean too much.
They get into her most lucid dream, which is honestly really dark, and I don't want to repeat it. It's a big trigger warning and it's intense.
Yeah.
And she explained it to her mother, and her mother was like, I think what you're describing is an Illuminati ritual. And she's like, oh my God. And Neil once again draws a line here that her dreams and their intensity can be linked to the fact that she's like exhausted and she's pushing it too hard on the road.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm absolutely burning the candle, but I'm also going to put out a new album. We're already designing the show for that album. We're pushing and shaking and moving. And then he goes, well, aren't you worried? You're going to hit a point where there's backlash. And her response, from where?
Fabulous.
Where would the backlash come from?
Yeah.
Neil.
And then he fills it in. No one can predict it, really. But when you look at anyone who gets to a certain point in their career, all of a sudden something random happens and everybody turns on them. And then, of course, at some point later, everybody loves them again. This is like the day before my wedding. I was getting an IV drip and the woman was like, are you worried that none of the vendors will show up? And like, you know, one, and I was like, I guess now that you say that, that would be really bad.
Yeah. Could you sleep the night before your wedding?
Yes, like a baby.
Wow.
Yes, like the entire night through.
I could not. I bet I could not sleep.
It was crazy. I wasn't expecting to, but.
Basically, like we've talked at this point about religion. We've alluded to some sort of like harrowing trauma. He's called her. I mean, he's literally like psychoanalyzed her on the record. He's used the word hermaphrodite in the intro. And then he does a sharp pivot to, would you ever like make a rock album?
Yeah.
At the end, there are all these videos of you on YouTube playing alternative classic rock. Do you ever want to go back to that and do a Billy Joel kind of thing? And then I'll let you get to Manchester. Thanks for the time.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
She says, use the stuff that's going to make me a legend. I want to be a legend. Is that wrong?
I mean, what else are you going to say to thanks for the time?
Yeah.
Like, he literally just like wrung her out like a sponge. And then threw it away.
I was like, all right, well,
that's it for me.
Yeah. Have a good one.
The person at the end of the Zoom meeting that goes, nothing from me, team.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone have a good weekend.
Yeah. Stepping in and stepping up.
What an insane Q&A.
It really is an insane Q&A. And it actually really took me sitting next to you to realize that.
Mm.
I obviously read this before.
But we're jaded when we read it in our head. Silent readers.
Yeah, silent
readers. We're jaded silent readers.
We are.
Nothing surprises us as a silent reader.
Me, this old hag.
Yeah. But when we talk it through, we're like.
When we're saying some of these things out loud, it really does change.
That's exactly right.
Which is why we're here performing the oral arts. Because it really, it does something different to hear it.
It really does.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that I wouldn't have taken issue with until sitting here on this couch with you.
Yeah. And, you know, it was 2010. Let's set this in its time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Neil was in good company here. I think a lot of these interviews were happening. A lot of these kinds. Sort of like, tell me about the drugs. What was the darkest day on drugs?
See, I don't know if by 2010 we were quite there. I think by 2010, we were growing out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I think to 2010, it was like John Mayer vibes.
Yeah.
And he was doing Q&As. And those Q&As were really respectful. It was him veering all over the show, just freewheeling on the road, on the freeway. Just.
But he's a man.
No
one really does that to a man, do they?
Hold the testicles to the fire.
No. They stay cool. I just think that people feel more willing to.
Yeah, I think he feels very entitled with how much, I mean, she has given of herself and shown her fans.
Yeah.
He feels like she owes him all of her.
Yeah. And I mean, I just think that we would be shocked if we went back on any topic, whether it's addiction or eating disorders or whatever, the freedom at which interviewers are like, tell me about your eating disorder. Read about your eating disorder. Tell me what happened there.
Mm.
And it's like, maybe asking someone that's 2 years into recovery or like 6 months into recovery, not the best idea.
No.
To ask them to spout wisdom.
These aren't necessarily like bad questions. They do elicit interesting answers and they do kind of level the playing field and the stars are just like us sense.
Yeah.
But it is just, it's not even the question itself that he's been asking. It's the way in which he...
I mean, in the same way that it's inherently less interesting to like have an argument with someone that's just defensive.
Mm.
It's like at the point that she is spending all of her time like correcting his assumptions, we get to hear less of her and what she actually thinks.
That's so real.
It's like time is wasted where she's like, no, I don't. I'm actually not dressing like this because I'm socially anxious.
And as we know, I mean, she would go on to prove everyone wrong.
Yeah.
She won her first Oscar. She starred in a blockbuster film, House of Gucci and Joker, not so well received.
No, but Star is Born.
Star is Born.
Universally.
Beloved. And I mean, she is just like an icon of our times. I mean, I was having this conversation yesterday with someone who was like, okay, Coachella, Beyonce and Lady Gaga, different stages, same time. Who are you going? I said, Gaga for me.
Yeah.
That's the show I want to see. That's the artist.
Yeah.
She's leaving it all out there
in
a way that feels so incredibly authentic.
I agree.
And raw.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Raw like the meat she wore on her head.
Raw like the meat dress. Raw dog today.
Yeah.
My egos.
Be yourself.
You were born this way.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. But it's true.
Wait. 3, 2. You're on the right track, baby. You were born this way.
Bye.
Play it back. Play it back.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at Uncover Girl Podcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.